I think the key to understanding Mariam's music is understanding that her people, the Sahrawi people, have been in this refugee camp in the desert for 36 years now. There are now children who've never lived in the homeland that their parents talk about. So much of the music is about keeping the memory alive, keeping hope alive, and of course it's music of exile. It's music of people who are longing for something that they miss more deeply than words can describe.
Welcome back. You're in time to hear some fine desert blues, the music of the Sahrawi. And the blues is the sound, I guess, of heartache, of longing and loss, but it's also a tonic for the soul. Mariam Hassan has spent most of her life exiled from her homeland in the Western Sahara, occupied by Morocco in 1975. It was a conflict that claimed the lives of three of her brothers. But music has given her a political voice and also a respite from the harsh conditions of the refugee camps where she lived for more than 20 years. She composes mostly with a drum, sometimes just with a drum, and I believe that it's only the music that is memorised. The lyrics are the only thing written down, and they're sung in an Arabic dialect called Hassaniya. But you don't have to understand the words to be moved by this music. We're in for a real treat this afternoon, so please welcome the voice of the Western Sahara, Mariam Hassan.
عنواني قريته في عيونك كاتب عنواني الا انا اختار نقولولك الريم معايا سرداني الا انا اختار نقولولك الريم معايا سرداني ولاني اعطيك عنواني ماني ماني
Fascinating what one does pick up, even without understanding the language. There's so much that we can hear in this music, or any music, the human emotion in it. And of course, as audiences, we can hear pain in the music. I mean, Mariam's a great artist, so she's expressive in all the ways that vocal artists can be. So we hear when she's expressing pain, joy, anger.
When I started to sing, I had to learn a lot, and I learned it from other musicians. They teach me how to use the certain scales together with the rhythms. So little by little, I developed my style. And of course, my people understand what I'm singing. It's another situation in Europe. There, people don't understand what I'm singing, but they understand the kind of my songs. If I'm singing a sad song, if I'm singing a joyful song, if it's a rhythm for dancing. Today I express myself with my style and with my rhythms and my scales.
Perform at WOM Adelaide, I was very struck by the unique guitar style. I knew that there was a form of music called the howl that is a complex form of modal music based on Arabic modal scales.
and I could hear this dirty electric guitar, and I'd read that that was because rebels in the camps had been listening to Led Zeppelin on their radios, and so they'd loved the guitar style, and they'd adopted electric guitar, moving away from their traditional instrument, the tidinit, a small stringed instrument. But they'd transferred this complex modal music and all the influences there at the crossroads, the desert crossroads where they live, influences from Black Africa, Moorish influences from Spain. So I could hear this crazy mix. I saw these men in Mariam's band wearing white flowing robes, looking to me like Bedouin, yet playing this amazing electric guitar. I saw Vadia, the dancer in the group, Sahrawi woman, big smile, big heart, flowing robes. Vadia dances, and she seems sometimes to me to be firing a rifle, to be saluting, to be winking, very cheeky. And there was Mariam singing in this language, Hassaniya. Of course, I couldn't understand the words, but the passion was there, and there seemed to be some universality about it that was very easy to pick up on. Mariam to come into the ABC studios. The language question was a riot in the studios. We had Mariam, who speaks a minority language, Hassaniya. We had no one in the studio who spoke Hassaniya, so Mariam had to speak in her second language, Spanish. Zazi from Nube Negra Records was the translator. Zazi is native German. She also speaks a bit of Spanish, so Zazi kindly provided the interface between Mariam and I. And Manuel, who speaks Spanish and a bit of English, kept chiming in too. So it became more of a conversation, and it was really fantastic, but it was very difficult for all of us. It was important for me to push through that, to go through that hard work of this hilarious babel of language that we had, because I'm always curious about the people behind the music that I'm hearing. What motivates them? Where did this music come from? For them, of course, it was important, because Mariam was not only in Australia to sing her songs and receive the audience applause. She's here to tell an important story. She's called sometimes the voice of the Sahara. She knows that her people have been sitting in a refugee camp for 36 years and that the world, in a way, has forgotten their cause. It's often called the forgotten conflict. I knew people would be interested in that story. So we had all the reasons to go forward with this difficult situation, and we did it.
Salimos.
When they had to flee, they were fleeing very, very anxious, without knowing what was happening, where they are going to be. They could take nothing with them. They had no clothes, and hearing from everywhere very bad notices from the radio, and it was extremely bad for them.
Reflecting back, I knew very little at that stage. I knew that Morocco had occupied in 1975 the homeland of Mariam's people, the Sahrawi people, and that when Morocco moved in, many people fled on foot. Mariam, I knew, was one of those people. The men went to fight in the mountains, and so the women and the children were basically running into the desert, and as I understood it, women were using their melfas, this long flowing fabric that they wear, to make tents
so that they could sleep in the desert with the children and to protect the children. And I knew that eventually they'd ended up in Algeria, but I wasn't quite sure how that had come about.
Sí, nosotros cuando salimos estuvimos en una...
They stayed nearly 2 weeks without knowing where they will go. But then the Algerian people came with trucks to pick the people up. And they told them, we take you with us and to help you, and you can stay on our ground until you can go back to your homeland. And they have been very content, thinking that it will be only for a small time until going back to their country.
But in fact, they're still living there. They haven't been able to go back yet.
In fact, they are now living for 34 years in the Algerian Hamada. It's the name of the desert in where they built up the refugee camps, and there's really nothing there. It's sand and stones.
Mariam and I, in conversation, talked about the development of her music in the camps, and in those early days they had nothing, so the women were making music on what was to hand. Carafes for carrying water, for example, became drums. And Mariam's music in the early days was to keep the people strong for an eventual return, they hoped, to the homeland in the Western Sahara.
Cuando tenemos un gobierno, por ejemplo, preparar también grupos.
They organized their camps. They built up groups to take care of all necessities, to distribute food, to educate the children, but also to animate the people not to go crazy. They also continued with their culture and their traditions to give the people a certain security. And Mariam started there with the first group. It was called El Wali. And there she started as a singer, and they sing in every camp, in every quarter, whenever something was celebrated, they were singing for their own people.
Este tiempo el que yo llevo a cantar con
The first years in the refugee camps, the songs were about the situation and the suffering. So there were songs to fight against the enemy, to fight against the situation. They went into schools and everywhere to sing and to animate, especially to animate all their people in such a sad situation, and they continued to unite them and to animate them that they can dance and also laugh to forget for a little moment where they are.
Also in the studio with us that day at Womadelaide 2010, Manuel Dominguez. He owns the record label Nube Negra, a small independent company that produces Mariam and releases her albums. Manuel is very committed to the Sahrawi cause. He had been to that area many times around northern Mali, Mauritania, Morocco. He had been involved with the trance music of Morocco, Algerian Rai.
The Sahrawi people, they are a culture influenced by the Arabs, but influenced, a big influence too of the Black Africa. And from this influence of the Black Africa came the blues. And from the Arabs came the songs to the Prophet. And we find the blues, more than talking about the pain of people, is talking about the relation with the Prophet.
Blues of the desert has developed in a very broad area of northern Africa, the north of Mali, Mauritania, southwest Algeria. It's a mix of influences. And so Manuel is also a connoisseur of music of the region. But I think when he went to the Sahrawi camps, he experienced something he had never experienced before and found very difficult to comprehend musically, an entirely different kind of music, a relationship between poetry and music that he hadn't encountered before. Sahrawi poetry is based on certain rhythms. For example, a rhythm called Fago is a popular rhythm, and those rhythms are intimately related to the musical scales of the whole.
La poesía, igual que las canciones.
In the Sahrawi culture, the music and the poetry is totally connected. And when they have events or festivals or celebrations, it's always starting with a poet. In the rhythms, in the scales, it's very connected to the music. And so it's like singing.
Just imagine that you're out in the middle of the desert at night, the moon is full, perhaps, and there's a large tent. You're inside the tent with a huge number of people packed into this tent. Musicians are performing, perhaps it's Mariam performing. And when Mariam's singing, suddenly a poet jumps onto stage, hands her some verses, and then Mariam steps aside, lets the verses be read, and then she also starts singing the verses. And this goes on and on through the night. And Mariam described to me that it's a little bit like a challenge that the poet sets down. It's like jealousy, to be jealous. If one poet starts to come on stage and they tell her their verses and also try to animate her to sing these verses, all the other poets around, because there are always a lot of them, everybody starts to come up and to do the same and to do it better, and the third better than the second, and the people are enchanted, applauding and doing the agarits, and it's a very familiar situation. Everybody is participating in it, and it's a big animation in between all the people. As Manuel took in all these complex relationships developed over centuries in this area between the music, the politics and the poetry. I think it spun his head. He told me later that it took him a week of just sitting with what he had seen and heard until he began to get some kind of handle on it. And I think he was hooked then. Mariam, hearing Mariam for the first time was a real highlight for Manuel. They've developed a very strong relationship and Manuel's been very involved in Mariam's artistic development.
Sí, hombre, encantada. Porque él el que...
She remembers it very well when she met him the first time in the camps in 97, and she said, thanks to God that he continues with me, so I'm here, and he's the reason why.
So now you've developed a music that has space for the blues, also for reggae, all kinds of contemporary influences melding with this traditional howl, your traditional music.
Tenemos estas canciones de reggae y del blues.
In the music, Sahrawi, it's not that strange to combine with reggae, to combine with blues, because their scales and their rhythms of the hall allow this approach easily. And she developed it. She found out that it's easy to actualize her music that way, because it's already in the tradition of her music.
It was very funny when we... in the studios to record a new song, and the sound engineer say, but that is a reggae, that's a blues. Why? Because the desert receive everything that comes. And the language of the Sahrawis, they are words from Swahili, because the caravans from the east of Africa came into the west just for salt. So they have the roots. Now they are developing with a modern presence.
Hay muchos países no saben nada del pueblo saharaui, del problema el que vive.
And thanks to Manuel, my voice got to every corner of the world, although very few people know about our situation and our cause. But my voice and my songs are going there, thanks to Manuel.
Earlier, I mentioned that Mariam's band play a version of the Saharan blues, inspired in part by rebel fighters plugging into Led Zeppelin. Well, those rebel fighters were the band members of Tinariwen from Mali, whose music has become known on the world stage. And of course, Zeppelin's Jimmy Page and Robert Plant closed the circle by continuing to explore the bent blues notes that came originally from Africa.
Pilot of the storm who leaves no trace, like thoughts inside a dream.
So music reminds us of our interconnectedness. And that's why it's the great hope of the Sahrawi people that through Mariam's voice, what's often called the forgotten conflict will become more widely known. With El Wali and went on to develop her own music. She worked with her guitarist Baba Salama, who was really a spiritual companion for her. And Baba was a fantastic guitarist, strong knowledge of howl, the modal music. And Baba acted as Mariam's musical director. So in a sense, Mariam depended on Baba quite a bit.
Claro, el tiempo que yo grabo el deseos, yo...
When I was recording the CD Deseos, I was working with him and he was animating me, he was helping me because he was a great guitarist, a great composer. And this time were very, very hard for me because it was a time when I had my cancer. But he was giving me strength to continue and to do everything well because he was a very open-minded guitarist.
La ilaha illallah.
Baba died at a very young age, and this was a real crisis point. But that started an evolution in Mariam's career, where she started taking on the role of music director. And she started to say, no, I want this, and I don't want that. So it was a tragedy that opened up a new story for Mariam.
And now when I'm working with other guitarists, I always remember him because he is deeply in my heart all the time, and I will remember him forever.
I think that there is a new moment for Mariam. For me, it was a discovery how Mariam has changed. He's really occupied in the production of the songs, and for me, it's a maturation.
Mariam's future. She's developing her music all the time, and she's very interested in exploring the meaning of East and West, a true meeting. That's some cookie-cutter idea of East and West coming together, but really looking at how she might bring musicians into her band who have influences from American blues traditions, along with musicians who are more influenced by the African blues traditions, and seeing where that ends up. It's a struggle for Mariam to get together just the right band because part of her work is going back to the camps, and that's a difficult journey. To get from Spain to the camps is more than a full day's effort. It involves flights that seem to need to occur in the middle of the night on Air Algiers and rides through the desert in trucks, throwing up sand in your face and getting into your equipment.
Laila,
So the musicians in Mariam's group need to be committed not only to the glamorous bits, performing on world stages, they need to also be committed to going to the camps and performing for people there who need to hear this music, for whom music can be as important as food. I'd like to know who you're listening to, who you're being influenced by, how you see your music growing.
Ahora no pienso en nada. Me canta como, por ejemplo, Shep Hale.
So, Mariam is not thinking in the future. For the moment, she's thinking only to the moment she will be back in Barcelona. But she told us a lot of names she is influenced, and she likes to listen to musicians like Shep Khaled, Yusum Duo, Ali Fakature, Kasum, the Egyptian singer.
The kids in the camp listening to?
They like a lot Najim Malal, the guitarist, who's also a singer and a composer, because he's presenting in the camps, especially a little bit this kind of music for the young people. The young people in the camps, of course, they listen to their music. They listen to Rabi music from everywhere, but especially from Algeria, and to the Rai music from Algeria.
Mon œil pleure, ma patrie me manque tellement. Ma patrie c'est l'amour, ma patrie c'est le cœur. Ma patrie c'est le respect de chacun même s'il est différent. Le souvenir perpétue l'éclat de ce lieu où j'ai tant aimé, ce lieu où j'ai tant donné. J'ai vu la tendresse prendre forme humaine, un arc-en-ciel me dire je t'aime. Une pluie de perles me parle et me dire jamais je pourrais te quitter. Mon esprit pris possession de mon corps, je suis devenu plume. Depuis que je suis sorti de la brume, je cueille des fleurs de lune. Au-delà des cimes, au-delà des cieux, au-delà des cils qui splissent mes mots, ce sont les feuilles de mon cœur qui bruissent. Douce réminiscence.
She likes all, and of course this has a certain influence, but she feels that she is singing her music. She really hopes to continue to sing as long as she can, and she wants to give the young Sahrawi her message, to sing their history for them so that they also continue.
So much. Is that the longest interview you ever did?
No, it's not only. I'm suffering, and I didn't.
No, it's great.
The end of the interview, the end of our hour together, struggling with language, trying to talk about these songs and the Sahrawi situation and the stories. The end of all that seemed more like a beginning to me. Manuel told me about a project that was to come, a project to open a music school in the camps. And he told me too that Nube Negra Records had been asking Spanish musicians to donate guitars, and that Nube Negra and Mariam's band would be carrying those guitars down for the opening of the music school, where Mariam would perform. There's one tree. We're on the highway, and on either side of the highway is the Sahara. And I just saw a tree. Very rare sight here. I immediately thought, wouldn't it be fantastic if we could take Radio National listeners there and hear Mariam performing to her people in the camps? People in the camps have now been there 36 years. So while I understand that they were reluctant at first to move from tents to more permanent abodes, they have now started to construct adobe houses. They're very basic, just square blocks with a toilet outside. Each house usually has a goat. There is such poverty. I saw a man feeding his goat with cardboard. But the Sahrawis have formed a government in exile. They know that music is a key to their voice being heard, and they also know that the young people are without hope and really need some way to focus their energies. So this music school has been born right there in the middle of the camps. The Algerians have donated 2 grand pianos sitting there in the middle of the desert, along with drums and guitars. For me, a highlight of the trip was sitting in a tent while Ryan, a Californian guitarist that Mariam took to the camps, learned the Sahrawi guitar style from local musician El Wali. Ryan, having spent years playing in New Orleans, is steeped in the blues. And it was a sensual pleasure sitting in the heat, sipping hot tea for hours, and listening to El Wali playing phrases, desert style, and Ryan imitating over and over in the Sahrawi style of teaching and learning. But I also felt viscerally the tensions in the region.
We are in Rabuni, and we are apparently located at the building where 1 month ago there were some folks kidnapped from this camp. We are kind of out in the middle of the desert, as far as I know.
You know, we've been talking, you and I, about the similarities between the music here and the blues. But that guitar style sounds really unique. And that really dirty sound, that timbre that it has, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, that they seem to really enjoy that. There's definitely nothing like clean about the guitar sound. It's a great, incredible tone. It's just really the kind of tone you get when you have a small amplifier and turn it all the way up, and just turn everything all the way up, which is interesting to hear that in this kind of music. But I think a lot of it, for 30 years now, basically there's been a lot of anger, you know. And of course, I mean, it was 1975 when the Sahrawis were chased out of their home, which was, I believe, also probably the time that the electric guitar became heavily integrated into their music. And that was also a time where there was a lot of anger, and they weren't necessarily singing lots of love songs.
Now, having been to the camps with Mariam and learning so much more about the culture, about the political struggle, I hear the music differently. Now I hear the price Mariam has paid to become the artist she is. And that's why we want to take RN listeners there, to the camps, with Into the Music next week. But first, let's finish up back at Womadelaide, 2010, and a deeply felt song Mariam presented there.
Esta canción habla de una niña maltratada.
The situation of Cesaroi in the occupied territory is very difficult, especially young girls in the age of 14, 15, 16. In danger, she decided to sing about all these girls, and it's called Tefla Madluma.
Thank you.
Muchísimas gracias. Gracias a todos.